Sports talk while you're on the clock. Cap and Company.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Welcome in to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. You can watch the show on Twitch. Search for the channel ESPN 1000 Chicago. I'm Chris Bleck along with Adam Abdallah talking football with you. If you want to join the conversation, 312-332-3776 is the phone number. We're talking about the 10 teams that needed a quarterback going into the offseason, Abdallah, and whether or not those teams made upgrades at the position or if they kind of stayed pat. And there are a couple of teams with young quarterbacks, right? The Broncos, the Redskins, the Dolphins, and the Bengals. The Dolphins and the Bengals drafting quarterbacks. So obviously they are assuming this will be an upgrade. The Redskins and the Broncos keeping their young quarterbacks. They assume with some seasoning that will be an upgrade. The Panthers, we think, upgrade. The Buccaneers, upgrade. We think the Chargers actually didn't necessarily get better. I kind of like Tyrod Taylor, but did they get better at the position? Not sold on that. We think the Colts and the Patriots both upgraded the quarterback position. And then we get to the Chicago Bears. Clearly, Nick Foles brought in, we think, is an upgrade. But how much of an upgrade is the question?
Well, you look at what they did last year. Let me give you some numbers. QBR, 28th. Touchdowns, 27th. Passing yards, 21st. Yards per pass gained, 32nd. That's dead last, by the way. Yards per pass gained, dead last.
32nd?
32nd.
Is that how it works?
How many teams are in the NFL?
32.
About 32.
So that's how it works?
Last? QB rating, okay. 28th. My favorite one is QBR.
Because, there was no home field advantage in there where you could sneak in a 33rd option?
In 2018, the truthers...
Yes.
I don't have the button in front of me, so... The truthers would tell
I think it was the chair. I was asleep at the wheel.
The truthers will tell you that in 2018, he was third in QBR. Third in QBR. And you and I go, QBR is a garbage stat, right? So now, in 2019...
I never use QBR for anything.
Right? Never use QBR.
Regardless.
So now in 2019...
I go straight quarterback rating.
So now in 2019, I come to you and I say, well, truthers... Your great amazing stat now has him ranked 28th. Oh, well, it's a garbage stat now. It's a garbage stat.
Yeah, it has completely changed. They moved the goalposts.
You want to use QB rating? QB rating, he went from 19th to 28th.
Oh, okay.
So can Nick Foles...
Trubisky truthers, that's what the sound is for.
Can Nick Foles, with all of the coaches who are familiar with him, he's familiar with the system, everybody knows the system, he's great with the system, like it's the back of his hand, he knows it, everything's great. Can he be better than 28th, 27th, 21st, 32nd, and 28th in those metrics that I gave you?
I hope so.
But does he have the ability to be?
I think he does.
Then they've upgraded.
Yes. If you go to Chris Sims, he had his top 40 quarterback countdown that he had going for over a month. He counted down each day. He gave us a new quarterback. Mm-hmm. On the list of the top 40 quarterbacks, per Chris Sims, number 38 was Mitchell Trubisky.
There's only 32 teams.
No, he threw some extras in there because there are two Bears quarterbacks on the list. All right, there's some quarterback battles that are taking place.
Battles.
So Trubisky was 38, you know, because the Chargers, they have two quarterbacks on the list, Herbert, Taylor. Mm-hmm. Herbert's 37, Taylor's 34. We said it's an upgrade. That's probably an upgrade, right?
Kind of.
How about the Saints? They have three quarterbacks on the list.
No, they
Hill,
don't.
Winston, and Breeze, yeah.
Why is Taysom Hill on that list?
He has him 36.
Dude's throwing two. Wait, he's got Trubisky. He's got Mitchell Trubisky. Joseph Trubisky.
I was going to talk about Foles, but you walked us into this.
He's got Mitchell Joseph Trubisky ranked lower than a dude that's thrown six passes. Is that how many attempts he has?
Yeah, a running back that throws the football, yes.
But he's worse than Taysom Hill.
That's what he says. Chris Sims, top 40 quarterback countdown.
Woo!
Yeah. Taysom Hill, 36. Justin Herbert, 37. Mitchell Trubisky, 38.
Clicks.
Dwayne Haskins, 39. Tua Tagovailoa, 40.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Nick Foles ranked 31st. I agree. Upgrade. Your stats suggest, can he be better than what we see there? Yeah, total upgrade. So I think in this whole conversation, you look at the 10 teams, I think the Bears have upgraded the position. I don't think that's earth-shattering news that we've come up with here, but I do think that as far as this team can go, going 8-8 last season, you look ahead into this year, Nick Foles is going to have to play great football to get them way past the mark that they were at last year. Like, he's an upgrade over Trubisky, but is it an upgrade that takes us back to 12-4? Can they win the division solely based on Nick Foles being the quarterback?
Well, when we...
See what I'm saying? Like okay. Getting to 7-9, yeah, I would assume that's going to happen. They can be that type of team. But is this Bears team really, based on the quarterback upgrade, able to get to the 13 wins, 12 wins, be a team that gets to host a home playoff game? You know what I'm saying? Like,
that I don't know. But what I do know is that after the playoff season, right, when the Bears went to the playoffs, they had the number one ranked defense. They had the 23rd or 22nd or something like that ranked offense after that year, right? And we kept on saying, look, this defense, historic defense, turnovers at a premium, right?
Yeah.
Turnovers where you couldn't stop getting turnovers against these guys. Like, they would, the ball literally bounced into their arms on a few turnovers. So to me, all I said was maintain a top five defense. Stay in the top five. Stay in the top 10. Just be a Super Bowl caliber defense. You have a top 10 defense, you can win a Super Bowl, right? I could say top 10 defense, you can win a Super Bowl. Now, I say to you on the offense, take the next jump. Take that next step. Go from the top 20s to like mid teens. Give me like 15th, give me 14th. Give me 13th. Give me somewhere in there. Take the next step. You would think that Matt Nagy and Mitch Trubisky working together for a second year, they would make that jump. That's all we're saying. I don't need the defense to be insane again. I just need the defense to be top 5, top 10, and I need the offense to be top 15. That's what I need. And instead, they dropped. They fell. The offense fell. The defense took a fall that we expected, and the defense fell. So because of that, they struggled to win, they didn't make the playoffs, and they were in the hunt for a little bit, and they ended up 8-8. Can Nick Foles take them from the rankings that I gave you, where Trubisky ranked before, and be 17th, 16th, 15th? Can they be a middle of the pack offense? That's all I'm asking. Be middle of the pack.
Well, this is where I introduce the Matt Nagy play calling angle to the conversation. Is he good enough as a play caller to run an offense that consistently gives you stats in the mid teens?
I think he is.
I think he is, too.
I'm still in
on Matt Nagy.
I think he was handcuffed, like Waddle has said a bunch of times.
Okay, so let me ask you this question.
I think he was handcuffed by Trubisky.
But if we know the limitations of the quarterback heading into games last season, and we know you had the brilliant 2 minutes on the defense just a couple of minutes ago.
Don't patronize me.
I'm not. I'm saying it was brilliant. It's good. Stats, everything, right. Championship defense.
Don't patronize me.
I'm giving you the credit. You gave a good 2 minutes. Cut it for a promo. You can do it. Yes. The defense is good. So why didn't the head coach go into games suggesting, hey, let's limit turnovers. Let's run the football and limit the mistakes because our defense is good enough to keep us in all these games. Why didn't he do that?
That is, I'm with you.
Right? Like if you have a bad quarterback... Trubisky truthers.
Yeah.
I have to say this because they're going to think we're just trashing Mitch. I'm talking about any football team in the history of football.
If you
have a bad quarterback and you have a good defense, what's the idea to go into a game schematically is not hurl the ball all over the field.
Look, I'm agreeing
with you. When does that ever work?
I'm agreeing with you. There are many flaws to the offense of this team. They're the bad offensive line, the bad play calling at times, the inability to run the ball, the unwillingness to run the ball, the unwillingness to establish the run, throwing it 75 times a game. I understand that there are flaws, but you know what the band-aid for those flaws are? A good quarterback. Russell Wilson was running all over the field last year because his offensive line was garbage. And he still made it work. Look at what Deshaun Watson has had to work with for the past few years as his offensive line. Hot garbage.
I agree.
Okay? Good quarterbacks find a way. Trubisky has never been able to find a way.
No, I agree. But it was the coach helping him last year.
I don't know if you can help him. That's what I don't know. It's a chicken egg. They're both bad eggs.
I agree. There's something going on there.
Do I have to make the car analogy? Do I have to make the car analogy?
What car analogy?
The car analogy, my always go to the car analogy, is that you've got a dude in Matt Nagy that wants to go 175 miles an hour. He wants to drive a race car. He's out there. He's Mario Andretti. He's Jimmy Johnson. He's Denny Hamlin at Pocono. Okay?
Yeah, yeah, he's winning.
All right? The problem is
winning
he's driving a Camry.
Oh, yeah. You drive it till the wheels fall
off. He's got
man.
A Camry that's duct taped together that's got 75,000 miles
Have
on it.
Seen
that's
duct
actually
tape?
Not a lot. 150,000 miles on it.
Duct tape can do some things.
He's got a car out there that's got 250,000 miles on it. Not really, because Trubisky's young, but you know what I mean. He's got a lemon.
Trubisky has like no mileage on
him. He's got a lemon.
He didn't even play in college.
He's a lemon.
I don't know if he's a lemon.
Bad car.
I don't know about that.
I think he is. You're letting the seat taint you, taint your views.
What was that show with Exhibit from back in the day?
You know what happened to you? Pimp My Ride.
Yeah.
You know
like,
what happened
like,
to you?
Is that
you're
what
in
we
the
need?
Matrix right now. You're in the Matrix. You sat in that chair. You're like Neo. You leaned back and someone put something to your neck and you are just believing. You're like, I need to think Trubisky's good. And someone did it. You're like, you just learned Kung Fu. But you've become a truther. If the last 2 hours and 11 minutes, you've become a truther.
No, I haven't.
Someone put the truther card into you.
I'm just saying.
You know Kung Fu, and you're now a Trubisky truther.
He's a lemon. He just needs an upgrade, like Exhibit Show from MTV back in the day.
We're going to put a DVD player in the trunk? What good is that going to do?
Why not?
What good is a DVD player in the trunk going to do?
Pretty cool.
If I've got turntables in the trunk, where am I pulling up to park to DJ? Ridiculous, that show.
In the parking lot.
Ridiculous.
At a party.
You've got TV cameras in the side, so if you get into a car accident, your car is screwed. I almost said something else. Your car is screwed.
Yeah.
It was a horrible show, X to the Z.
I don't know if it was horrible.
It was horrible. Those cars were not worth anything.
Oh, of course not.
What are you gonna do with a beehive in the trunk of your car and a beekeeper's suit in a hatch?
It's like a girl that works at Best Buy, right? Like she's like, oh, my car sucks. Okay.
Yeah.
And then they like trick it out and it's all this stuff.
You like beekeeping. Here's a beehive in the trunk. And guess where you keep your beekeeping suit? In the hatchback.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. Did you miss some Cap and Company? Your podcast is ready. Chicago's home for sports is on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
This is Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
We're talking about the New England Patriots signing Cam Newton. And did the Patriots actually get better at the quarterback position? I'm not just saying that Cam Newton's better than Brady, but what if they get better production out of the quarterback position, which they were kind of lacking at times last season with Brady running that offense?
Yeah, we're also diving into you becoming a truther all of a sudden and saying that Nick Foles is not better than Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah, I'm a Mitchell Trubisky truther. Listen, I'm not. I'm just saying that how much
it's
better.
It's up for debate.
I'm not a Trubisky truther.
I'm not the judge, jury, or I'm not Judge Dredd here. I'm not judge, jury, and executioner.
What is that? That's a Sylvester Stallone movie?
And from the Rob 90s? Schneider.
And Rob Schneider, yes. Not Sandra Bullock and Rob Schneider?
No, Judge Dredd, that's you're thinking of Demolition Man.
Oh,
I'm thinking of Judge Dredd.
You're right.
They both have Rob Schneider in
Yes,
them.
They do. Exactly. Yeah, I just blew your mind.
Well, they should have made a twins, too, with the two of them.
Bleck and Abdallah here in for David Kaplan on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. We now talk football with one of our favorite football guests, Charles McDonald from the New York Daily News. Follow him on Twitter at 4Verts. Charles, when we look at the Patriots, did they actually upgrade the position now having Cam Newton as their quarterback going forward?
I think you can say that they did. Like, it's certainly possible because I'm personally the belief that Brady, you know, you can talk about the skill group all you want and how the receivers weren't great and the tight end position wasn't great to the Patriots last year, and that's all true, but it's not like Brady played well outside of that. And you're getting a quarterback who is, you know, it's kind of funny to say, but who is 11 years younger than your previous starter. So I think the chances of Cam Newton bouncing back and having, you know, a year where he plays like a top 10 quarterback is probably higher than the chance that, you know, a 42 or 43 year old Brady comes in and does the same thing, especially in that supporting cast situation, because it's not like they did much or anything really to upgrade the skill groups because they were hamstrung in cap space by Brady leaving. So, you know, you get this guy who the last time we saw him fully healthy was 2018. And he was, you know, for the first half of that season, he was playing like an MVP candidate. He hit the Panthers at 6-2, and then he got hurt and he hasn't really been healthy since. But I just kind of find it hard to believe that there's so many people writing off, you know, a 31-year-old Cam Newton could come back and get healthy. I mean, he's barely played any football. Like, he's only played in two games. Last year, he, you know, like I said before, the last time we saw him healthy, he was excellent. So if he comes in and plays well, like, I just wouldn't be surprised at all because he's had the time to get his body right. And we know that at his peak, he doesn't need a whole lot around him to get an offense going and get a team a lot of wins.
Are they going to use some of the same system that they had with Brady, a lot of run first, tight ends, and not really, you know, not really take the ball out of Cam's hands, but more protect him so he's not taking those hits and so he doesn't get re-injured?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that, you know, coming up with a game plan for preserving Cam is going to have to be huge because he might not be the guy that we saw back in 2015, 2016 that can carry the ball, you know, 8 to 10 times a game and be like a battering ram. I think you're going to have to be more precise with how you use him as a runner. But, you know, the thing that's so exciting about this to me is that if there was any coach that you could pick to oversee a Cam Newton reclamation project, it would be Bill Belichick. And now he has like the most physically gifted quarterback that he's ever had, obviously, and one of the most physically gifted quarterbacks to enter the league. Like, even if Cam Newton isn't at his pure dominant physical peak, he's still, you know, more physically gifted than just about every quarterback in the NFL. So I am pretty optimistic about this. I think, you know, just with the track record of Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels, they're going to have a game plan for him. The offensive line, like, if they're healthy, that can be one of the best units in the league, especially that interior trio. It's just kind of cool to see, like, you kind of always wonder what would these elite coaches do with the physical talent? We see it with Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes. We saw last year with Baltimore and Lamar Jackson. Now you get Belichick, like this super weapon toy to play with, and it's just kind of fun to think about what the possibilities can be with that.
Charles McDonald from the New York Daily News talking football with Bleck and Abdallah in for David Kaplan this morning on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. When we look at Cam Newton and the point of his career where he's at and like the perception of Cam Newton, I was trying to think of other athletes that we've kind of done the same thing to where we doubt that they can do it, even though there's still athletes who could play at a high level. And like the only other name I could come up with was Carmelo Anthony in the NBA, but Melo never won an MVP. So like, are people really underestimating Cam Newton? And like the perception of Cam Newton, does it have more with like some of the off the field things than his actual play on the field?
I think it has to come with the fact that, you know, people just don't really like to see maybe, you know, this overzealous black guy just come and beat in your face and dance in the end zone and, you know, dunking on people whenever he gets the chance. And it kind of rubs people the wrong way. And that has, you know, turned into off-field issues that, you know, it, based on who you talk to with the Panthers, like, they're not really there. Just people don't always seem to like him. But it's interesting to me that there's this, you know, it's like the combination of Cam and Belichick, it just lets your mind wonder a little bit about what this could possibly be. And even if you don't like Cam Newton or you don't like the Patriots, getting elite quarterback play is always fun. And, you know, really, no matter who you are, like, even if you didn't like Tom Brady or Peyton Manning, you have to admit that the league is a better place when they're playing well. And it's kind of like the same factor here. I'm in a spot where I don't like the Patriots and I'm a Falcons fan. So I wasn't always the biggest fan of Cam Newton twice a year, but now that they're together, it's just like, well, like this could be absolutely explosively fun. And, you know, if he sucks, there's no real risk for the Patriots because his whole contract is almost incentive. So if he comes in, he sucks, and you just kind of like a veteran minimum salary to take a dice roll on Cam Newton, and you're Bill Belichick and you're Teflon, and you're never going to get fired no matter how many games you lose for the rest of time. That just seems like a dice roll that every team on the planet should have been taking.
We've also been discussing the Bears and Nick Foles and Mitchell Trubisky and whether or not Nick Foles is an upgrade. I believe he's obviously an upgrade, but how much of an upgrade is Nick Foles than Mitch Trubisky? Chris gave some great stats about how they're basically the same. Trubisky has had more touchdowns over the last couple of years. Nick Foles was hurt for a little bit, obviously, but just the basic quarterback instincts that Nick Foles has. How much of an upgrade is Nick Foles than Trubisky?
I really don't think it even matters that much because, you know, maybe you're getting a little bit better passing from Foles than Trubisky, but Foles is an absolute statue. It's not like, you know, at least when Trubisky has the chance or his brain functions enough where he can go and take off and run, like he can go and do that. But Foles is kind of a statue. It's like, to me, you're the same level of quarterback, which is bad. Foles is a little bit better of a thrower. Trubisky is a better runner, but I don't think either of them are even close to being good enough to get you where you need to go in 2020. Like it's especially knowing now what we know now about the Cam Newton contract. It's crazy that the Bears didn't really try to make a play there. And, you know, I get people go with the route of, you know, Foles knows the offense and maybe that has a little bit more value this year in a year where, one, there might not be football, or two, if we get football, there probably won't be a preseason training camp. So maybe I can buy the Foles know the system argument a little bit better. But at the same time, if you're one of 32 NFL head coaches and you're Matt Nagy and this is your offense, you should have the confidence that you can teach to any player that is more skilled than a player that you have on your roster already. So I thought that was kind of weird to take that route because if I'm Matt Nagy, I'll sign Cam for a one-year deal and do my best to teach him the offense, and we'll live and die with that instead of trade for Foles and give him a three-year deal when I know that if both quarterbacks are at their best, you're going to take Cam Newton every time.
Charles McDowell from the New York Daily News joining Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. We were talking about a story from the Baltimore Sun with offensive coordinator Greg Roman suggesting that there's going to be another level for Lamar Jackson to take this season, especially passing down the field outside the hashes. What do you think is next for Lamar Jackson?
What I think is next for him is becoming maybe a little bit more consistent on these tight window throws. And like Greg said, I mean, that would be my assessment too. Like, deep down the field and outside the hashes is something that I thought he got better with as the year went along, but it's something he can definitely improve on. It's kind of scary that you're talking about a guy who is 22 years old, coming off the first unanimous MVP season with, you know, or since Tom Brady did in, I think, 07. And everyone's like, you know, there are clear areas where he can get better, and that has to be absolutely terrifying for the rest of the AFC North. And it's funny, like you watch him play and he's not perfect, but he just generates so much offense at such an efficient rate that it's weird to think that he could actually get better. And I think that what's important for people to remember about Lamar Jackson this year is that he can absolutely be a better player without matching the efficiency that he did last year. Because, you know, it's just unless, you know, 36 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, averaging almost 9 yards per attempt is like his baseline regular season, and he becomes like one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, you're probably going to see a dip in production, but that doesn't mean that the league has, you know, figured him out or anything. It's just, even if you go back and you look at peak years from Brady and Breeze, it's just kind of hard to keep up like Hall of Fame elite level efficiency year after year after year after year. So even if he plays functionally as a better quarterback, the numbers might not completely reflect that, but that's okay. You know, we're watching one of the like truly elite young talents, and he's just one of my favorite players to like really that I've ever watched play in the NFL.
Same question, different quarterback. Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals, a team that I expect to, I don't know if they're going to, you know, they're going to win, you know, 12 or 13 games, but definitely be better than they were last season. What do you expect from him and what he can do with another year under his belt?
Oh, I am all in on the Kyler Murray and Cliff train. Like, I remember last year I interviewed a bunch of Big 12 coaches that had, you know, spent time with Cliff Kingsbury, and they're all like, look, the national media is kind of missing the point that it's not this air raid offense. It's more like an NFL offense that has air raid concepts sprinkled into it. You know, I talked to Sonny Dykes last year, who's the head coach at SMU at the time, and he said that you got to look at you should think about Cliff Kingsbury the way you think about Sean Payton with the Saints. And like, that's the kind of level of offense that he's on. And we already saw that last year. All they did was just flip out. They flipped out Steve Wilks for Cliff Kingsbury, and they flipped out Josh Rosen for Kyler Murray, and we saw how much better that was. And now you get DeAndre Hopkins, you get another year in the system, you get another year of Kyler being comfortable at the NFL level. Like, I think that this could be, you know, one of the better offenses in the NFL. And even last year, the fact that if you look at DVOA and EPA per play, the fact that they were able to go from being one of the worst offenses we've ever seen with Rosen and Wilkes to being an average offense last year with that talent is pretty impressive. And now you get DeAndre Hopkins. Like I said, it's really exciting. I don't think that the defense is going to be good enough to get them to 12 or 13 wins. And you're probably still going to see some inconsistency from Kyler, but they are like on the fast track towards being a playoff contender sooner rather than later.
Thank you, Charles. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for having me.
That's Charles McDonald from the New York Daily News. Follow him on Twitter at 4verts. Our interview was brought to you by Corona and the Hotline, the Corona Hotline here at ESPN 1000. Listen, there's nothing more that tastes like summer, like a cold Corona on the golf course.
Summertime.
Right?
I'm gonna this 4th of July weekend. A case or two or three or four. I mean, it's a long weekend, so yeah, probably four.
The AFC West is going to be incredible, because I agree with what Charles is saying there. The Cardinals, they're going to be a good team. At the very least, the Cardinals are going to be 500. Like, everyone in that division has the potential to be a playoff team.
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
I'm very excited to watch Kyler Murray.
Good football conversation. Yes.
Very excited. So do me a favor so we can watch football this year.
Mm-hmm.
Wear your damn masks.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Wear your masks.
People need to wear masks.
Wear your masks.
Yeah, it helps.
Wash your hands.
Big
wear
time.
Your masks.
Wear a mask. Coming up next, Bleck and Abdallah. We will break, not news, but we will be the first to report something.
Ooh, you heard it here first.
First to report something on ESPN 1000 next.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
It's Cap and Company. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. And ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen.
Chris Bleck, Adam Abdallah, sitting in for David Kaplan today here on ESPN 1000. Minutes away from Bleck and Abdallah being the first to report something.
First to report something
here on ESPN 1000.
First report.
But first, Patrick in Crete. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Patrick?
Fellas, really quickly, I just kind of wanted to get your take on this. All this news broke about Cam Newton signing with the Patriots, I was just kind of curious. To me, it kind of seemed more of like a farce, just based on the fact that just an hour prior to them signing Cam Newton, they got fined $1.1 million and lost a third round 2021 draft pick for the sideline or the videotaping of the Bengals practice. And I kind of feel like it's more of a diversion. You know, Bill Belichick, he's no dummy. And I just have a hard time believing that Bill Belichick really wants Cam Newton, because he's so terribly inaccurate when it comes to throwing the ball. And you go from Tom Brady, who's like 65% in his career, to Cam Newton, who I don't even think he's ever had a 60% completion percentage in his career. So I just kind of want to get your guys' take on that and kind of see if maybe that was more of like a diversion more than anything else. So I'll hang up and listen.
Sure. Thanks for the call, Patrick. But I'll let you handle this because I've got stats to look up because we talked about this last night.
Yeah. So I love conspiracy theories. I love a good conspiracy theory. The second that they signed Cam and then the news came out about the punishment for videotaping the sidelines came out, I'm like, well, they could have announced this any day of the week. But of course, they announced this the same time. And every talking head show
there's
on
nothing
ESPN
we do better
or
than
FS1,
conspiracy theories.
Of course. FS1, ESPN, NBC Sports,
trying to pull one over.
Everything, every talking head show, every radio station, everywhere. No one's talking about the punishment.
What's going on?
Of losing a draft pick and all that kind of stuff. They're talking about Cam. Of course, it's a diversion tactic. They also did upgrade their quarterback position, and also, if Cam is good. If the Patriots win a Super Bowl next year with Cam Newton, comeback player of the year, offensive player of the year, MVP Cam Newton, and he leaves and he signs a big deal with another team because the Patriots aren't going to sign him to a big deal. Don't get it twisted. They're not going to pay him that much money because he's
older. It's not what they do.
It's not what they do.
If they were going to do that, they probably would have gone out and signed Teddy Bridgewater.
Absolutely. So what they're going to do is when he does, if he does sign a big deal somewhere else, they get a compensatory third-round draft pick. Oh, guess what?
Smart.
We lost a pick. Now we get a pick back. Take that.
Okay, so we just had Charles McDonald on from the New York Daily News, and he laid out why he loves this move for the Patriots. Last caller just said, you know, completion percentage. He's not accurate. Cam Newton's not accurate. So Tom Brady, in the last 3 years, completion percentage of 65 and 60. Last year, 60.8. Cam Newton, the last season he played more than two games, so 2018 he played 14 games, Cam Newton's completion percentage was 67.9. He's accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Cam Newton is. So if you think Belichick's only signing Cam Newton as a diversion for a conspiracy theory, so we don't pay attention to them filming the sidelines of games and the penalty handed down by the NFL, I disagree with that. But I will say the timing of the release of the press of them signing Cam.
Yeah,
clearly they're trying to.
Of course. You don't think.
But
they don't think the Pats know what they're doing?
Yeah, of course they do. They absolutely do.
Come on. They're the Patriots.
All right, Chris Black and Am Abdallah sing in for David Kaplan today. We are the first to report here.
First report.
At ESPN 1000. So Abdallah, and listen, to do something like, we have all our friends with us, right? Like Rachel Ray is here, right? We've talked to her before about
making a meat cake for my dog.
She's great.
It's weird. She made meat cakes for her dog.
She's great.
She's giving us advice, guys, cooking advice if you're going on your first date. How you can cook for a lady of your choice.
Man, did you never see Lady and the Tramp?
Yeah.
It works on dogs.
She told you to get one long
noodle.
Make
a nice spaghetti supper, a simple tomato basil sauce and spaghetti and a good bottle of wine.
Yeah, see there? Rachel Ray from the Food Network.
One long noodle.
Yeah, she's here. You know, we have you've talked to Rick Ross before.
Rose?
He's given us the advice for life. Rick Ross?
Follow your heart, man. Whatever it is, if this is what you want to do, just make sure you do it at the highest level possible.
Boss.
And stay focused.
Boss.
I mean, really? I mean, listen, is there anything better than the advice for life from Rick Ross?
Follow your heart, man. Whatever it is, if this is what you want to do, just make sure you do it at the highest level possible and stay focused.
Rick Ross.
No plan. Just boss.
No
just
plans. Boss. He goes just into it. He wakes up every day. He's like, what am I going to do today? I don't know. Be a boss.
Just boss.
I'm Rick Ross.
Nick Saban. You know what?
Coach,
thank you.
Yep.
We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Coach.
Right, thank
Thanks
you
a
guys.
Lot, Coach.
Have a good day, man.
Roll Tide.
Have a great day, Coach.
Roll Tide.
Yeah, you Roll Tide, Nick Saban.
Yeah.
He hangs up the phone.
No, he had to go to another interview. I understand it. He texted me later. Listen, Dad and I text.
Yeah.
He says, Roll Tide.
What's that? Beep. So here is what we are reporting first here at ESPN 1000. Black and Abdallah. Today is June 30th.
Sammy Sosa Day.
Sammy Sosa Day, yeah. Sammy Sosa ends the month of June.
Sammy Sosa Day.
With a lot of dingers.
You know what I heard? That the Cubs were actually going to welcome him back today, but there's no baseball, so they couldn't welcome him back.
But this isn't the news.
No, that's not true.
That's not
true.
What we're doing. That's
not true.
The
not
first
true.
To
that's
report
a goof.
Here.
That's a goof.
That's not what we're doing.
That's a goof.
But we will be the show of record in the city of Chicago to be the first to report that tomorrow, July 1. What do you think took place on July 1 that we are here to celebrate? What do you think it is?
Well, I know
what it is. What are we here for?
I know what it is. First to report, a day early.
July 1. See, that's why we're here, though, a day early.
Day early.
Be the first to report this.
Day early, never short.
You will tomorrow on sports radio shows across this country.
Throughout this great, beautiful nation.
Sirius XM, your terrestrial radio.
Every station in the country.
Every app and podcast.
Every talking head show.
On every dial.
There'll be a segment.
Every subscription.
Everything. You might get an alert
on your phone.
You'll get an updated story on ESPN.com. You'll get an updated everything with new numbers, new figures.
Here it is. Tomorrow, you will hear sports radio people telling you that tomorrow is Bobby Bonilla Day.
Bobby Bonilla Day!
Oh, Bobby Bonilla Day!
Everybody gets $1 million. You get $1 million. You get $1 million. You get $1 million. Tyler gets $1 million. JR gets $1 million. Everybody gets $1.193248 million.
And why is that?
Because the Mets are stupid.
Well, because the Mets, July 1 of every year from 2011 to 2035, agreed to this deal in 2000 where the Mets would pay out the remaining $5.9 million on Bobby Bonilla's contract. However, instead of paying Bonilla the $5.9 million at the time, the Mets agreed to pay an annual payment of $1.2 million for 25 years starting July 1 of 2011, including negotiating an 8% interest increase. At the time, Mets ownership that was involved with Bernie Madoff accounted for a promise of a double-digit interest rate over the course of the deal. The Mets were poised to make a significant profit if Madoff's accountant delivered. And in the quote, it says here in the stat pack from ESPN.com, his accountant did not. So tomorrow you will hear sports radio people telling you that it is Bobby Bonilla Day. We are the first to report it.
Bobby Bonilla Day.
Tomorrow.
Bobby Bonilla Day.
Be prepared. Tomorrow is Bobby Bonilla Day.
So is the $500,000 he gets for 25 years from the Orioles factored into that?
I have no idea.
Because he also gets $500,000 a year for 25 years from the Orioles. Those payments began in 2004, according to this article I'm reading on ABC7.com.
I'm just thrilled that we, as a sports radio listening community, can celebrate
Bobby Bonilla Day.
Like Bobby Bonilla Day.
Today's Sammy Sosa Day.
Tomorrow, Bobby Bonilla Day.
So get, you know, whatever you do to celebrate Bobby Bonilla Day.
Yes.
Get it ready.
Yes.
You know, I'm sure car dealerships are having Bobby Bonilla Day APR financing. I'm sure you can go to Best Buy and get a TV.
The good old days of baseball.
Bobby Bonilla sales across this great nation. 0% APR financing, all that good stuff. Because of Bobby Bonilla Day.
I mean, you know that people are going to say it. JR and Tyler are looking at us on the other side of the glass like we're out of our minds, but you know that you're going to be listening to radio shows tomorrow, and they're going to be talking about Bobby Bonilla Day and how great of a day it is.
Coming up next,
the
Bobby
worst
Bonilla
deal
day. In sports history.
Can you believe it? Every year, he cashes a check.
Coming up next.
July 1st.
What would you do with $1 million a year?
You know what's crazy with this same story? I'll let you guys respond. Do you think we're nuts? Are we nuts right now?
I love this contract. I can only imagine.
But JR, we don't want your take on it.
All right, fine.
We're talking about the actual bit. Tyler, are we nuts?
No, you're not nuts.
All right.
I stand with you guys. By the way, did you guys see Darren Williams? His contract officially runs out today. He's been paid almost $10,000 a day for the last 5 years to not play for the Nets.
Darren Williams Day!
Yes, Darren Williams Day!
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Cap and Company. See what Sparkles is up to on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today. Cap and Company.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Thank you to J.R. Strauss and to Tyler Aki for producing today's show. Carmen and Yurko will join us in about 10 minutes right here on ESPN 1000. Chris Bleck, Adam Abdallah, sitting in for David Kaplan today here on ESPN 1000. and the ESPN Chicago app. I'm just cracking up. JR goes to give us the take on Bobby Bonilla. We're the first to report that tomorrow will be Bobby Bonilla Day, so get ready. Sports Talk listeners, you will hear it tomorrow. And when you do, think about Black and Abdallah. We're the ones that broke it to you first.
When you think of $1.193472 million, you think about Black and Abdallah.
And you hear someone go, ah, can you believe he gets paid $1 million a year till 2035? Isn't that crazy?
Someone tweeted us that we sounded like the hacky announcer voice for TV shows.
Yeah, that's exactly what we are.
The specific one was Dead Cat Lady from Rick and Morty. This lady's leaving everything to her cats. Yeah, there's a world out there. There's one universe I know that doesn't exist, where Nick Foles loses to Mitchell Trubisky.
Okay, all right. we're not doing Trubisky here.
We're not. Okay, sorry.
I was going to give the floor. JR had a legitimate sports thought on Bobby Bonilla Day. Mm-hmm. We interrupted him with our nonsense before we went to commercial break. JR, you're more than welcome to. What was your thought?
I was just saying that I love the contract, and he was a heck of a player when he was teamed up with Bonds in Pittsburgh.
He was. I agree. I liked him as a Marlin. I thought he was cool as a Marlin.
But who? Why? I don't understand. Just give him the $6 million.
Well, I mean, listen.
Why are we doing this? Is this a thing?
I don't think Bernie Madoff was very good with his finances.
I think he was too good.
Well, he was good to an extent.
And then he got caught.
Right.
Took a lot of people's money. He's a bad guy.
Yes. Yes, he was.
He was a bad guy who was really good at fleecing people.
Well, right, yes.
And he got fleeced.
Right.
Actually, the Mets got fleeced. I don't think Madoff's paying. It's not like Madoff's writing the check for $1.1
million. He's not paying
dollars.
It off now.
Yeah.
All right. See, I just felt like we interrupted JR. I just wanted to let him voice his opinion on Bobby Bonilla because everyone's going to have takes tomorrow on Bobby Bonilla.
Runner-up for MVP in 91.
See? Runner-up.
What about the double switch?
Okay.
We don't have time for that.
Oh, okay.
The other thing, though, if you're going to look into sports stories where the money is deferred, the other one is like the crazy trust fund that was set up for Allen Iverson.
That's awesome.
Like, doesn't he doesn't get, he'll get like $30 million when he turns 50, is it? Mm-hmm. Or some, I'd rather have the money early invested.
Mm-hmm. No, you got to listen.
They tried to protect him, but if he would have put that money into something,
you got to think about your future.
Invested,
you got to think about your future.
I am thinking about his future.
He's thinking about his future. He's thinking about when he's 50.
No, they're trying to protect
him. Kids.
But his kids' kids would have liked that money to be invested instead of just being handed over.
Can invest it when he's 50. How old is Allen Iverson?
Yeah, but what about all this time?
45?
The money could have been working for him this entire time.
Allen Iverson is 45 years old.
So in 5 years, he'll get this trust fund that was set up with Reebok, I think.
Mm-hmm. Twas.
A part of the deal when he signed it back, as a rookie?
And then that money will work. Invest in a Google.
Wow, yeah. Stock prices for Google are high.
Okay, find the next Google.
You have to find the next thing. Did you see earlier today that Apple was trending? Apple computers, did you see it was trending? Because someone put on Twitter, what would you go back and tell your 15-year-old self?
Invest in Apple, you idiot.
That's what everyone kept tweeting, like they had original jokes. Everyone's getting off the tweets. Invest in Apple. Yeah. Yes, you should invest in Apple. I agree.
I would have gone back.
What would you have done?
What would I have told my former self?
Yeah. 15-year-old Adam Abdallah, what would you tell him?
Weed's going to mess you up, kid. I don't know. I'm fine. Invest
You're
in something.
Fine.
Yeah, invest in something.
You know, I would tell 15-year-old Chris Black, it doesn't matter.
Listen, that's like the movie.
No.
That's like
this is why.
It doesn't matter.
A 15-year-old kid, you get a girlfriend, you break up, you think it's like, oh, it's such a problem.
Someone got broken up with.
No, I'm just saying I met my wife in my late 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nothing, like, it doesn't matter before
scars,
you get to that point.
It's those scars, Chris. It's those scars.
No, they're not scars.
They remind you.
It just is pointless.
It's the scars. If I've learned anything.
Just move on.
Let me quote the great poet, Papa Roach. It's the scars that remind us of the past we live.
Yeah.
It's the scars that remind us of those things.
Somehow you just put on like a wristband as you were saying that.
Yeah, of course I did. I put on the guy liner and
you're
everything.
You're ready to shred.
Spike the hair. Let's go to a Papa Roach show. I've been to a Papa Roach show. They put on a show. I've seen Papa Roach a few times.
I've not seen Papa Roach.
That's a concert.
I saw POD though.
Oh, Pod? Pod?
I saw Puddle of Mud, too.
Oh, yeah. Puddle of Mud. I've seen POD before, too. I've seen a lot of bad metal bands in my day.
Of course.
I've seen a few that never... If you remember In Flames?
Yeah, I remember In Flames.
Whew! Those some metal shows.
I'm just saying...
You, me, and JR could just do a bad metal show.
Oh, of course.
Podcast where we just talk about bad metal bands we've seen.
Shinedown? Anyone see Shinedown?
When you go to a concert...
Seether?
There are two bands where like if you go to
Breaking Benjamin?
If you go to a country show, like country essentially, I'm not saying it all sounds the same, but like
I think that's what you're saying.
A bad rock band, they still have the basic like melodies of rock. Like you still understand. But if you go see a rap show or a metal show, the bad openers for rap and metal, like there's either good or just god awful.
Tyler is 24. Of the bands we just listed off,
17.
I'm trying to help you out, man.
Tyler's 17 years old.
Of how many of those bands have you heard before?
You don't know
zero.
Papa Roach?
Oh, Papa Roach, I know, yeah.
POD?
Don't you guys make memes of Cut My Life Into Pieces?
Yes.
Puddle of Mud?
No.
She Hates Me?
Breaking Benjamin?
Nope.
Seether?
Trapped?
Nope and nope.
Chimera? In Flames?
Oh, I've got one. NSYNC.
There. How about Avenged Sevenfold? Avenged Sevenfold.
Yeah, I heard of them. Heard of
them. You know what they do? They avenge you seven times. That's what that means.
You remember?
They seek vengeance seven times. Imagine seeking vengeance not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, five times, six times. Seven times, getting revenge seven times.
Carmen and Yurko in 2 minutes.
This is Cap and Company on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.